Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, where we cast a critical eye over every single episode of the hit CW show The Vampire Diaries. I'm Catherine and I'm joined, as always, with my co-host Ellie.
Hello.
And then, oh, I didn't get a question ready. And then, oh yes. And then we are also joined by our other co-host, Alice, whose childhood crush was the lion from The Lion King 2. Hi.
Hello, hello. I would say that it's not just me who has that childhood crush. I will bring Ellie right in there with me, but Kovu is a sexy lion.
God, he's so fit. He's so fit. Like, wow, yeah.
At least you guys have each other. Before we start the episode, I just want to say I was on an episode of the podcast Still Got Legs this week. So that should be up now wherever you get your podcast from. It's a Doctor Who rewatch podcast. It's genuinely one of my favorite podcasts. And Nathan, the host, was kind enough to have me on. We are talking about the 2009 Christmas special, The Runaway Bride. So the first appearance of Catherine Tate. It's an extra special holiday episode, and you know I love them, so go give it a listen if you like Doctor Who. That's my plug up top. Today we are talking about season one, episode 21, the penultimate episode of season one, Isabel. This episode first aired on the 6th of May 2010 and was written by Caroline Dries and Brian Young and directed by J. Miller Tobin. Isabel returns to town and demands that Alaric arrange a meeting with Elena. When mother and daughter finally meet, Isabel refuses to answer any of Elena's questions, but reveals that she too is searching for John Gilbert's mysterious invention. Isabel's actions force Damon, Stefan, Bonnie, and Elena to deal with the situation.
I enjoyed this episode. I think I liked it more than the last one, and I can't really say why, because I don't know if I like the plot better, but
I just enjoyed it. Who doesn't love an episode where, you know, I actually don't love Isabel as a character, but I'm going to say a bad bitch comes to town and causes havoc.
Yeah.
It's fun.
I also thought they did the transition really nicely with the cliffhanger of the last episode, and they literally just followed on that conversation, which I think was good. I think often they can do a cliffhanger and then cut something quite different, but I thought they really flowed it through.
No, I agree. I love it when they pick it straight back up, because it just feels very pleasing of just like you've been waiting to be like, what's happening? I will say the guy who plays Rick, and I've forgotten his name because who cares about
Matthew
him?
Matthew Davies? Maybe.
That sounds right. Maybe. I thought he had some weird acting choices in the conversation with Isabel.
Can I guess which line we're talking about?
Yeah, go for it.
You are my wife and I loved you.
In the graveliest voice ever.
It was like, yeah, that's the perfect reenactment. I just think the whole conversation, like the things, I get he's thrown, but like the acting choices and the way he says his lines, I'm like, no.
I also don't want to start being a hater, but I do think the actress that plays Isabel is bad.
Yeah.
Look, nothing against this woman. I wish her well, but she is bad as Isabel. And to give her credit, I assume it's a deliberate choice that she's playing Isabel as this emotionless being, but her line readings are so uncomfortable.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound like she's not believable at all as a emotionless woman. She just sounds...
She makes Jeremy's line readings look good.
Oh God, honestly. Who would you guys pick if you could pick someone to be Isabel?
Maybe do you know Jordana Brewster?
Give me what she's been
she's
in.
Been in the Fast and Furious movies. But
I think I know who you mean. I know who
she
you
looks
mean.
Like Nina Dobrev. So, and I think she's a fine actress. So maybe her.
I know who you
who
mean.
Would you pick?
Not a freaking clue. Sorry, that question just came to me. I didn't plan an answer.
I don't know. Maybe what's her name? Mila Kunis.
Oh, that would be great. Could you
bit
imagine?
Of a big get.
Mila Kunis, like guest stars on the Vampire Diaries.
A big get, but I wouldn't be against it.
That's amazing. No, I'd love that.
I could see that.
I freaking love that.
She can do sexy evil because she's done Black Swan. Mm. She was good in that. She was great in that.
Yeah, she'd be amazing. Okay, that's it. Mila Kunis.
They should have cast Mila Kunis.
Cameo role.
Yeah.
On this first scene, because Isabel's asking Alaric to set up a meeting with her and Elena, and he's saying he won't do it, and then she gives the ultimate threat. She'll go after people in town, starting with who Rick loves the most, his history students.
What?
He has a girlfriend.
Yeah. But also the whole thing's stupid because I don't really get why Isabel needs to make a threat to have this meeting, because Elena went looking for Isabel and then Isabel killed someone else to get Elena to stop looking for Isabel. So now why does Isabel have to kill people for Elena to meet her?
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was like, why are these threats being made? You could just walk into the grill. She just walked into the grill. Just go in a normal time when a man's not drinking by himself and Elena will be there.
The writers have clearly put it in to give these two actors to a chance to show off their brilliant acting skills.
Clearly. Obviously. I do think it was like important to have, bar the acting, important for like Rick and Isabel to have a moment. But I don't think such big demands needed to be made.
No, I think you wanted to know that she was did not care about him anymore, or pretended not to care about him anymore. But yeah, I agree. I feel that was a bit over the top.
I think this whole episode, and it's going back to what you said last episode, Catherine, of like the humanity switch. This whole episode is just being like, Isabel has turned her humanity off and she does not care. Mm. That's until like the very end. But that's pretty much what the most of the episode is saying.
Does she have it off?
I want to say yes, but then she says something.
So this is the thing as well. She kind of, and we're really going to the end, but she kind of reveals at the end that she still in some ways cares about Rick, and she still in some ways cares about Elena. So to do the reveal of both of them cheapens both. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, it's like when she's doing that reveal to Rick, she's like, this was my choice and I will regret it. Mm-hmm. Like, it sounds like she really regrets being a vampire. But I don't know if it's like, it almost gave such a parallel for me to Damon of just like, she's just trying to push people away. Mm-hmm. And she's playing this soulless character, so no one wants anything to do with her because she regrets her mm-hmm. decision. And that's kind of what I got from it. But it also then just like, so many things that she did were pointless if she does care, because like she's gone way too far as someone even just trying to push people away.
I don't think she has it off. I really don't, because I just didn't think she'd care at all. Do you think Damon had it off at the start of the season?
Yes, and I think it's just, or like he had it very much, because he speaks to Rick about how it's like you can go on a dimmer and you can go back and low. I think he either had it off or he had it really, really, really low. And then as he and Elena's like relationship grew,
yeah,
it came more on, is my opinion. Yeah. What do you think, Al?
I don't know if either of them had it on. I don't think Damon had it off, but I agree. I think it was some sort of dimmer. But I think even from the beginning, he has some sort of motives and feelings. What I don't get, this is going on a side note that's maybe a spoiler, but what I don't get is when you're talking about the humanity switch being off, it's like they have no emotions. And yeah, he doesn't come across as feeling, but he definitely has emotions. So I don't quite know how it works. Another part of the frustration with the actual way they use it.
They change what it is, because it at a certain point it becomes you have like no actual, like you're so laissez-faire about life and apathetic, which Damon isn't. And Isabel, I guess, kind of is, but then she at the end it's revealed that she's not. So I guess maybe at this point we're meant to believe both of them have it on, but it just doesn't line up with like what we know is this. I fucking hate this. This is a humanity switch. It's so stupidly named as well. I hate it.
Because I think they try and do it as like you're not moral, like you can still be angry and you can still get angry about things, but like you're not a good person. But that's why it's also going back to like what I said, just have good people and bad people. Like I think Game of Thrones does it really well, that like you don't need a, well they do it well at the beginning, you don't need a humanity switch, you just have like some people are shitty, some people are really good, some people are in between and they do bad things but they do good things, and like you don't really need a switch to make someone evil.
You're so right, it's such a child's view of the world. Like vampires are either good, or if they have this switch on then they're bad.
Mm-hmm. So Then we have another Founders Day event, or Founders Month.
Another local event in the history class. They're recreating the Battle of Willow Creek.
Right, okay, so my question is, right, it's the Founders Day parade. Mm. Miss Mystic has a parade, has a float. Yep. That makes so much sense to me, of course. Why does the history department have a float? And if so, does all the other departments in the school?
Great question, Ellie. I wanted us to ask us, what are the other departments doing? Because they must do.
Exactly.
What is the science department doing? What is the PE department? The PE department will just be the football team walking, actually, or something like that, or the cheerleaders or something.
Do you think the other departments have it? Because I feel like I get history. It's about history. Like, the event is a historical event. Mm. So surely the history department is like the school's represent.
But no, I think if it was like just that, then I think you're probably right, because it's stupid. But if it was me, I'd say maybe then they shouldn't be a history department. Maybe it should be the Founders Council, or like the founding families doing like the history.
Surely like the arts department have a flow or something.
Oh yeah, actually the arts department should have a float.
Yeah, there must be more. Like, because Mystic Falls is so fucking small. Who has a float? Like, surely everyone's involved. Who's at the parade? Because surely everyone's involved in at least one club that's like going down.
Yeah.
Well, you would think. And also, right, I think the science department would have done the comet, because that happened this year, and they'd be really excited by that.
Yeah.
So that's what science is doing. My other question is, right, so the history department pick the Battle of Willow Creek, which is the battle where Damon and Stefan die. How many times do you think the history department have done the Battle of Willow Creek?
Every year.
Every goddamn year. I will say, I did double check it's not a real battle, because I was like, they reference this a lot. Did this actually happen? It's not real. There's like a Battle of Wilson Creek. So I think maybe they've just like played with that a little bit, but it's not a Battle of Willow Creek. Maybe.
I see. What I did love is Caroline going on the website to reference the Miss Mystic Falls float, and I wish we could do that. I wish we could go on the Miss Mystic Falls or Mystic Falls page. I couldn't work out which page it was on.
I thought she was just searching it and the answer immediately came up. Is that not what was happening?
No, okay, so she did, but then a website immediately came up and she went on it.
She just searched Mystic Falls Founders Day, no date, and immediately got the picture.
So I think it's a Mystic Falls page, and I think they've got a Founders Day page of like what they showed the last year. God, they how many Founders events? Their website must be mad.
A lot of traffic, I guess, on that website. Yeah.
And what's your thoughts of what Caroline wants to do?
Do you want to go first, Al? Because
you go. Share those thoughts.
It's really in keeping with Caroline's character, and I absolutely agree that Caroline channels Scarlett O'Hara daily. However, Gone with the Wind is a very, it's got such a problematic history. It's, I will say, Gone with the Wind is a cinematic masterpiece. However, it's got so much of that antebellum South culture, but then it's also tied in with like the first Black woman winning an Oscar, but then also she was winning it for like a mammy role, and then also she wasn't allowed in like the first Oscars ceremony. So it's such like this complicated movie that does, in fairness, get referenced a lot. So actually, it doesn't surprise me that a town like Mystic Falls would have a float based on that. But for the show to just reference it so casually, I am like, oh God, here we fucking go again.
Also to reference it with the line Southern classic elegance. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I've personally never seen Gone with the Wind. I just know that it's like, has the problematic points that you've said, Catherine. And it's just like, God.
It's so complicated because it's like so tied up in movie history. Like, I think with inflation, it's still the most successful movie of all time. Like, when you take into account with inflation, it still is. And it won like so many Oscars, and in some ways it's like Vivien Leigh is amazing in it, but also it's like the slaves in it are really like happy to be slaves, so it's just a very movie to casually reference, and it's just very complicated. But Caroline's gonna use it as her theme, so it's all okay.
And they just whip straight past that.
Yep. And Bonnie has no other comments on it.
No, because Bonnie's not allowed to have an opinion on these things. She's just there for like an extra point.
It is very like of the time, but Bonnie never like makes any reference to the fact that she's Black. You know what I mean? Like, it's obvious that she is, but it's never like disgust.
Particularly when they make reference to like slave quarters and stuff in their house, like the Lockwood Mansion, they reference at some point that they have slave quarters, and it's just like, but I agree, it's of the time where it was like, oh, it doesn't matter, like no one kind of sees color. I think it was at that point.
People have weddings on slave plantations. Like, it's not even of the time. It's still. I'm looking at you, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds.
I know. That's what I was thinking. Didn't J-Lo and Ben Affleck as well? Did I make that up?
I don't know. They got married in Georgia, so quite likely.
Catherine, I'm getting such a strong sense of deja vu.
Have we had this conversation?
I feel like we have.
I know they got married in Georgia in like August, which is the craziest heat in the world. Alice looks troubled. Did you not know this?
I didn't know that.
People get married in slave plantations. It's part of it is because the US don't have like stately homes the way we do. And I guess a lot of our stately homes are problematic, but you know, slave plantations are like, you know, recent memory. Places look nice, so people get married there.
He's been trying to sell it.
Okay. Jesus Christ.
Not successfully. But they did get married there. It's his house.
So he owns it.
He owns it in Georgia.
Oh, he's got... Oh, doesn't his family have, like, money from slaves?
Yeah, okay, yeah. So, yeah, it was like... this is ridiculous. So he tries to sell his... it's an imitation plantation. Okay. The site of his elaborate wedding. 3 years after revelations surfaced that one of his ancestors was a slave-owning Georgia sheriff.
Yeah.
Wait, so he got married on a... Like, he tried to make it look like a slave...
Well, I don't think he did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah it's like an imitation or like a plantation style.
So it might just be like a building built in like the style. They probably don't have like quarters there. Making it as like a historical reenactment. I don't know. I'm not Ben Affleck.
I'll show you what it looks like. I'll send you guys the link. You can look after this.
My problematic fave, Ben Affleck.
Him and his Dunkin' Donuts.
I can't get into this now, but I do have a strong love of Ben Affleck. But I'm happy he got married there. Anyway, we said we were going to be focused for this one.
We did. Sorry.
Yeah. So moving on from Gone with the Wind, we see John and Isabel. John rocks up at Isabel's house and we see all kinds of awful things happening.
So many.
I'll tell you what,
things.
The only thing I did enjoy. Oh, it's fucked up. I did enjoy the music as John got out of the car.
I hated John's car.
What was his car?
Like, what a stupid car.
What was it?
It was like a blue Volvo, but like it was something like that. Like, it was just it was just a nothing
John car.
But he also gets out with these like sunglasses and black leather jacket.
Oh, he tried to look so cool.
It's because people like you think he's sexy.
don't give me that, John Gilbert.
Slander.
I have Sark any day. But yeah, there's some fucked up stuff going on.
We'll start with, what the fuck is Isabel wearing? It is a crime. That she's got like this insane like tinsel necklace on, silver, and then the rest of her outfit's fucking hideous. But then she also has the ugliest fucking gold eyeshadow I've ever seen in my life. Is she meant to be dressed sexily? Because she's dressed like a mum from Utah.
And is she dressed like a mum trying to be sexy?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's terrible. I'm with you there.
That was not sexy at the time. I refuse to believe it.
No, but as in, I don't know if they're trying to make her out as someone who's trying to be sexy but failing.
No, I think she's meant to be.
Oh,
sorry.
Well,
it's like the age old question of Spider-Man 3. Is Tobey Maguire pretending to be cool, or do the directors think that he's cool? Yes.
Are we meant to think he's cool, or are we meant to think this is what Peter Parker thinks is cool? I am still wrestling with that thought to this very day. I don't know.
Every time I watch it, it's hard to know because it's so stupid.
People react to him like he's cool.
Yeah, I know, right? But is that in his head?
I don't know. Is Isabel dressed sexy?
No.
It's so ugly. And then we see she has two little minions, Sherry and the cowboy. And the cowboy was gay, but he's not anymore.
I've literally got fucked up underlined in my notes.
Also, why is that why did they want to add that in?
Well, they clearly really cared about diversity because this is the first queer character we've seen on screen.
Mm.
A gay man making out with a woman. Lovely.
Mm. Just what we needed.
It also goes with any like comment that we've had about any type of like anyone being gay. It's always been made fun of. And it's just like, it's also so fucked up. Like, we've had fucked up compulsion where... like Stefan's been raped, Caroline's been raped, but like
this is what
and it can't even this is worse. I can't even find the words.
This is still rape, but it's like another messed up way. Like it's messed up on it in the same way and a different way. Like it's awful. I fucking hate it. Also, I'm so sorry. I'm going on so many rants this episode. I actually did like this episode. Isabel is sleeping with both of them. Yeah, that's what it's saying. So therefore, actually, Isabel is our first like queer character, and it's this evil bisexual woman, and I hate it. I actually can't fucking stand it. And like, I believe to my core, all vampires should be bisexual. But why is the one that's off like raping gay men? Fuck me.
Also, like, couldn't agree more, and completely agree with you about the like every vampire should be bisexual, because of course they are. Let's be honest. Say,
I tweeted that from our account the other day, so like, it's on Twitter that you guys agree with me.
Okay, well, you've heard it here. We do. But like, compulsions obviously involved here. So I don't really get, not that it makes it better, but like, why couldn't Isabel just compel a straight man?
Yeah.
Or like a bisexual man? Like, why does he have to be gay? Like, if he's going to sleep, well, actually no, straight, because it's two women. For some reason, I thought there was another man. But like, why have you picked a gay man that you're just going to compel anyway? Like, the whole thing.
It's so gross.
It's messed up, and it's just there for a line. Like, that story that didn't need to be added in that line.
You're very right. This doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it doesn't further anything. Like, yeah, there's no plot to it. It's just to say it to be like, haha, and it's
And it, like, they would justify it as like, we're showing like how depraved Isabel is, but we already see that with her threatening to like fucking murder children, or like you can show it to John in other ways. Like, it's so unnecessary. It really fucking pissed me off, particularly as like Vampire Diaries hates gay people in general.
No, I think it's so fair. Also, like, I think it is still pretty depraved to like just kidnap two people and make them dance and entertain mm-hmm. them for yourself. Like, you don't need to add that extra layer to it. Again, it does nothing. Like, it doesn't further the storyline. It doesn't further Isabel's character. Like, she's a bitch. We get it.
It's just unnecessary. And
can we move on from it? Okay, yes, good.
One thing that is great, we can talk about Isabel's slap of John to be like, you failed and I'm stepping in, which I did enjoy because I love seeing John put in his place. But like, yeah, let's move away from Isabel.
Well, next is Isabel and Elena. So I think the whole episode is about Isabel, so we have to stay on her, but we can move to...
Well, it is titled
Isabel is the title of the episode. So
so she does make an appearance.
She is here. Yeah.
Well, next kind of in the episode actually is when Stefan, Damon, Rick and Elena are all talking about Isabel's threat. Mm-hmm. So, like, they call Damon in because you can't have a strategy meeting without Damon.
No. Obviously. Heaven forbid.
No.
He also walks into an incredibly awkward room. Like, he's toddling along and then he just arrives. Everyone's just staring. I don't know. I just found it quite funny.
It feels like they've been sat in silence waiting for him to arrive, which really made me chuckle. They have nothing else to say to each other. I do like, it feels like we're getting, you know, the band together. Like, I feel like in Vampire Diaries a lot, they act a little bit as a team. So this is the first, like, we've got a good little team up happening here. And then later Bonnie joins in too. So, you know, it's the gang.
The gang without a group text, which we'll get onto in other episodes, but no group text.
Yeah, they need the group text. Also, I feel like you see, and just, it's the way they've been building it up. You know, you got Elena and Damon's rapport in the last episode. And I think you get a lot of, like, Damon being caring in this episode. Like, they talk about Elena having to see Isabel, and Damon's like, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, and all this sort of thing. Really building.
I like that.
And I think they do it to show, because they always pan to Stefan when these happen. So I think it's to show, like, Stefan what's happened while he's been in recovery, is that there's been a bond that's been made, and like, there's a relationship that's formed and a friendship that's formed, and he's clearly like missed out a lot. But yeah, they do really hammer home there's been a dance. Exactly. I also enjoyed, like, well, no, Elena has to go see Isabel because she's threatened to kill everyone, and Damon's like, I'm assuming that's a problem.
Yeah,
That's growth. At the start of the season, he'd be like, well, that's not a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
He's now at least questioning
it. He's slowly learning morals like a toddler, and we should reward him for that.
That's true. On a side note, before we move on, I'm going back to Caroline and Bonnie because they have talked about how Elena's late. Like, Elena's clearly been in this classroom for a while. Where should they think she is? And also, like, Caroline's asking what's happening with Bonnie, and Bonnie's like, I can't tell you. And right, like, I fully respect boundaries, and if you guys don't ever want to tell me something, obviously I'm not going to pry. But, like, if you two were mad at each other and neither one of you would explain to me why you're mad at the other one, I would lose my
mind. I wouldn't let it go. I'll be honest, guys. I wouldn't let it go. I'd be like, you have to tell me.
Yeah, that would be me. You know what? Good on Caroline. She actually, for Caroline as well, who you'd expect to be more at it than us, she shows restraint because I would be like, yeah. I would not be happy.
Losing my shit. I'd be like, why can't we all hang?
For God's sake.
Yeah. Why can't we record
our podcast?
That was brilliant.
It shows where our priorities are. But no, honestly, it's like, why aren't you two talking to each other? Why do I have to just be friends with, like, one of, like, individually?
Yeah. It is crazy. She lets it go. But poor Caroline's also upset because she's like, Matt and Tyler aren't talking to each other.
Why is Caroline upset by that? Was she ever that good friends with Tyler?
No, but I guess she's dating Matt, and I guess she's just like, it's really fractured at the moment, and 6 months ago we all didn't have this many problems.
Funny that.
I guess also, like, I don't think Tyler and Caroline were ever close as like a two from what we can tell. I feel like they were part of the same friendship group because they were friends with Matt, who's friends with Tyler. Like, I feel like they all did stuff.
Yeah, actually, I think the reason Caroline is... Oh, because she several times, like, clearly wants to fix Matt and Tyler's relationship. I actually think it's more because she's close with Matt now, and actually I think she sees how isolated he is. He doesn't have any family. His, like, sister's dead. His mum's disappeared. He doesn't seem like he has any other friends. I mean, Stefan let him drive that car one time, but I don't think they're that close.
Well, given Stefan's history.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. So I think she's like, look, you know, Tyler does care about you and has, he made out with your mum. It was a bad thing. And he tried to kill you. But
other than that, he's a great guy.
Yeah. He's the best option Matt has right now.
Yeah. And maybe says a lot.
Maybe Matt should reflect on why that is.
Maybe he should. But actually, that's fair. Like, there's a point in the when Matt's helping build the float and Tyler comes up and is like, Caroline says you're by yourself. But it doesn't also seem like Tyler's ever apologized once. He's just like, I don't know what to say to Matt. Like, has he never once been like, I'm really sorry I tried to kill you and that I made out with your mom?
They didn't make a card for that.
Just like, take him to a football game. Matt would forgive him in an instant.
Yeah.
Or have Carol write a lovely and appropriate note and send it with a beautiful bouquet of flowers. Like, Tyler has at his fingertips the epitome of grace and decorum, and he doesn't use it enough.
We have not seen Carol in a while.
We haven't. It's really sad.
We saw her episode 19.
We saw her in two episodes ago, but it feels like a while. I think also she could send, rather than flowers, she could send Matt a lovely gift basket. Like, he's living by himself.
Oh yeah, give him like a gift basket. Otherwise he's not making like beans on toast every night.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And anyway.
Isabel.
So he meets Elena.
Where'd you go to meet your vampire birth mother?
Where else but?
This is why, I mean, why were the threats necessary? You just hang out in the grill.
Elena will rock up at some point.
I will say, I thought the bit with Elena and Stefan before Isabel showed up was quite sweet, of like her being nervous and then being like supportive. That was very sweet. But yeah.
And then Isabel is quite a sort of cliched, awful. She's like, human life means nothing to me. You don't need to say it. It's obvious. I feel like she's a bit of a cliche of herself.
The writer's telling us rather than showing us? Never.
What?
Never.
What? Also, when she says to Elena, I wish it would have been more effective of her not wanting to meet Isabel, again, Isabel, you've come here and you've made threats to kill people to meet Elena. So, like, stop complaining that Elena wants to meet you.
Yes, that's a really good point.
It really wound me up.
Is this the first time we find out Isabel's met Catherine?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Or at least that she has, like, a relationship with her. Is this... Oh, no, we already knew that Catherine was related to Elena. Yeah, that's why they look alike.
Yeah. But, yeah, we didn't know they'd met, and it was like genetic curiosity or whatever. But do you find it really weird when Isabel makes like the comparison between Catherine, Damon and Stefan and Elena, Damon and Stefan?
Which bit?
When she's like, or do you enjoy them both like Catherine did? I'm like, at the end of the day, this is your daughter.
Wildly inappropriate to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess she is wildly inappropriate.
It's just weird though. Like, yeah, it's so hard not to like compare her to Catherine because I think they fill a similar archetype, but Catherine does it so successfully and interestingly and with layers. Isabel is just cringy and wearing ugly necklaces and just awkward. I do not like this character.
I also think, and I will get to it in our stats section, but I think she's making these jokes for like the bigger arc of the story when she eventually is like, Damon's in love with you, to Elena at the end.
Yep.
I think that's why they make her make these inappropriate comments for the storyline. But it's just like, you think about where the comments are coming from and who they're coming from.
Yeah.
As like a...
No, really right. There's not a lot to say about it. They then... Isabel leaves, Elena's crying, Bonnie sees her and then leaves.
Yeah. Oh yeah, she wants the device. That's what she just like threatens all people to get the device.
The new MacGuffin.
And Elena's like, Damon won't give it to me, which is stupid when Damon just does literally anything that Elena ever asks.
Yeah, that's such a poor defense. Like, think of something else, Elena.
He's given you everything.
literally.
And then you get... So the next kind of Isabel scene, so she's met Elena. Then Damon rocks up at Isabel's and plays strip poker with Sherry. But this is where, so he's, you know, he's had lots of flirty moments with Elena. Then makes out with her mum.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. What are the writers... I know they've already slept together, but what are the writers thinking that at this point... And it's fucking... What's even crazier is it's fucking said in this episode that Damon is in love with Elena, but he's making out with her mother. That is not something you do with someone you're in love with.
No, also it's like they make out and then it's like he's lulling her into a false sense of security and then he like pins her down. And he's like, how dare you like threaten the people I care about? How dare you threaten Elena? So it's like clearly just showing how much he cares about Elena, but at the same time when he's just made out with her mom.
The writers,
like, it's a really weird...
The writers like really have a weird thing about people like getting with people that are related. Like, it happens so often at this point, I think it's pathological.
Yeah, well, it's so common in these sorts of shows. In real life, how often does it happen? Basically never, we hope.
In my life, never. You know what you guys are doing in my life? Never.
I don't need a basically. Like, never.
He does say one of my favourite lines ever in the show in this bit. Which one else? Yeah, go on.
I was about the Killing the Messenger one?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that
one. It's so good.
I do believe in killing the messenger. You know why? Because it sends a message.
Great.
It does. Oh. I also think it's really interesting when he's like, I couldn't work out in this whole scene whether Isabel was just playing with Damon's feelings of Catherine, being like, Catherine wants the device. I was like, is that a lie or is it true? And then at the end you find out it's true. But I was like, oh, is she just saying that because she knows how Damon feels about Catherine? If she wants it, maybe he'll give it to her. But then when he's like, you know what, tell that bitch to like come get it herself. And I think it's the first time that Damon refers to Catherine as anything other than someone that he's been like madly in love with. So it's quite a big switch.
In the last episode, he made a joke he was going to spend the next 50 years being obsessed with her.
Yeah.
So I think he is starting to see her in a different way. I think he's also like, get Catherine here. You know what I mean? True. Like, he wants to like see her.
I think also the more he's falling for Elena, the more like... Catherine's sort of not his single focal point in life.
Yeah, because we didn't talk about the phone call, not that we have to talk about every single detail in this episode, but like the phone call that Damon and Elena have, and it's like she phones Stefan, but you think she's on the phone to Stefan. She's like, I just wanted to check in. And then it's Damon and he's like just smiling away on the phone. Yeah. He's clearly like loving the conversation. You can really see they're just like,
and once again, pants to Stefan afterwards, just looking like, huh?
Yeah. So funny, because it was Stefan's phone. The whole time I was like, why are you calling Damon? Just call your boyfriend. But no, it was Stefan's phone.
Same.
It made sense. Yeah.
And then you get sort of the Bonnie re-enters the picture. Again, I feel like they use her in this episode to serve the plot rather than really to, because she comes back and mends her relationship with Elena. I think that is good. It starts to show a bit more of that bonding, but I feel like we don't really get enough of it.
Well, it's not from
in the episode.
It's not from Bonnie's side. Like, it's like Elena needs her, so she has to get over it. Kind of, because then it is revealed that, you know, at least she has some kind of agency, I guess. I will say her wig is fucking terrible. The bangs at one point are at a jaunty little angle, which I don't think is deliberate. I think it's not sat on her head, right? It looks really weird.
Yeah, completely agree. No, it's just like there's points where it's like it's trying to be beautiful, like Bonnie showing up at Elena's house. I thought was really lovely, of just being like, you were upset and I couldn't be there for you. But completely agree out. It like the only reason for it is for Bonnie to come in straight away. Like that's the only reason it's written in. And I wish it would have just been like, they care about each other as people, and like Bonnie saw that her friend was upset and wanted to be there for her friend, and that's that. But no,
I did love the reveal that Jonathan Gilbert is a fraud and that he never invented shit, and that Emily Bennett was secretly spelling everything,
because the Gilbert men are trash. They're not,
it's not the Gilbert charm.
Do you know what's so so delicious is the reason John Gilbert present day thinks he's the shit is because he's like, my ancestor was a genius and made a ring that could bring people back to life and made all this shit. Well, he didn't do fuck all, mate. You're not fucking special. Your line is not special. Go in the bin.
I love that. So it didn't do anything, but then we find out a little bit of what this MacGuffin does, but we know it's a weapon against vampires, not for them.
This is what I was saying in the last episode. Why was Emily on one? Why was she saving all the vampires in the tomb? Then also at the same, it doesn't seem like she had a change of heart, because she spelled the pocket watch before she spelled the tomb. So she was just playing both sides. And then after she had spelled all these other devices, she gave Damon and Stefan the ring. Like,
yeah, it seems weird. It doesn't seem... So I think the logic they're trying to say is like, oh, she was helping them, but also she didn't want to give them too much power and free reign. That's not really what she actually does. No. What she actually does is like, oh, I'll help you fight the townsfolk. Oh, I'll help the townsfolk kill you, but I won't let you do it. Like, it's chaos.
It makes no sense because, in the last episode, she says the reason that she was loyal to Catherine was because Catherine saved her life. But what I really don't get is we know now as well that Catherine was never stuck in the tomb. So, like, it seems like she and Catherine went their separate ways past after the tomb. But, like, why if Catherine was still around?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Side note, the dark doors freaking...
No worries, baby doll. Isabel shows that she means business with her threat to hurt the people Elena loves. Because, guys, she targets Matt.
Oh, my God. Not Matt.
Not Matt.
Right, she lists Bonnie, Catherine, and Jeremy.
Caroline.
She lists Bonnie, Caroline, and Jeremy. And Elena doesn't really do anything. And then she's like, leave Matt alone. He has nothing. She's also a bitch about Caroline. She's like, obnoxious Caroline.
I know.
Yeah, Caroline's done nothing as well. Like, if someone asked me a question about you guys, I'd probably not tell them your darkest stuff, but they were like, what were you up to at the Monday night? Oh, I was recording a podcast with my friends.
Also,
Ellie and Catherine.
It's Mystic Falls. It's the kind of place where everyone knows everyone, and like, you give names. It's not like they live in like a metropolitan city. Like, it's a fucking small town. But one...
Stefan stopped someone on the street.
And he gave him Elena's address.
He didn't need to use Bing for that. He just had to wander around the first person he saw.
Caroline is not to blame. Like... Also, at one point, after Matt's injured, they're like, oh, we've got to drive him because it would be 15 to 20 minutes for the ambulance to arrive. The NHS could never. Could you imagine an ambulance wait time of 20 minutes for her arm?
Oh, also, to not go for it, to be like, no, we better drive. That's mad.
Let me tell you, we're looking on, 12 years of Tory austerity, and we don't have that kind of wait time here.
Maybe we should get the Founders Council on the case. Maybe they'd do a better job.
Oh, no, I think we have enough corruption as it is.
Yeah. Do you think there's more or less? I was going to ask.
Oh, in the Tory cabinet than the Founders Council. I think this is a question no one's proposed before.
No. And do you know what? I want to say there's more in the Tory government.
I think there is actually. There's more in the Tory party.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck, guys. I'll say anything.
At us.
I don't care. Stand by what I say.
So Matt's been driven to the hospital. Jeremy's been kidnapped.
Oh yeah.
And right, this is fucking stupid, right? Isabel kidnaps Jeremy and then calls John to come round and be like, look, I've kidnapped your nephew.
John.
Yeah. She then does beat up John, so I think maybe she just wanted to be like, ha ha, and now I'm gonna beat you up.
Yeah, but like in front of Jeremy, the whole thing's like,
it's bizarre.
Yeah.
There's really nice bookshelves in that room. I admired them. I think I'd want them as my future home.
Yeah, I think I see that.
Jeremy didn't know that John knew about vampires at that point.
No.
No, he'd confronted Elena. Elena's having a really shit time at the moment, I will say. Like, bless her. I'm not normally on her side, but like, my God.
Oh, God. Not a good time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor Elena.
Well, because we find out that Isabel and John had a relationship, and then Damon, aka Poirot, at the end puts it together that John must be Elena's dad, and I'd be having a shit time if John Gilbert was my dad.
Oh God, honestly, on top of everything else, Isabel's my mum, John's my dad, Jeremy hates me.
Okay, who's the worst relative that she has?
Oh God. Catherine, I guess.
I guess what do we mean by worst? Worst to her or who worst from an audience perspective?
Who would you least like to be related to?
Probably John, as awful as Isabel is.
John at one point says to Jeremy, are you guys getting hot and heavy?
Oh!
Owl.
Also, I just think like she's hated John her whole life. She's like literally just met Isabel.
Yeah.
I agree. John's the worst.
But like John's been her dad and been there consistently and like just hasn't.
And been awful consistently.
Yeah.
I agree completely. Because Jeremy's been captured, they have to do something about it because it's Jeremy. So... they have the campest little standoff ever. Like, I thought it was so funny. It's like Elena and Isabel, and then she's like, I'm not alone, and two people appear behind Elena, and she's like, well, I'm not alone, and then two people appear behind Isabel.
Yeah, it's like a standoff in like a kid's action movie, like
stupid. Was it? But like, doesn't Isabel bring the two people she's compelled, like, aren't they human?
They are human. Yeah.
Well, Elena rocks up with the fucking Salvatore brothers. So, like, as if that's a fair fight.
What's the other thing? They're acting like... Actually, why... Maybe it's that they just don't want to suggest killing Isabel because they're acting like it's impossible to stop her. And she is a relatively young vampire compared to the Salvatore boys. Like, they're 140 or whatever. They could easily take her. They've taken much older vampires, no problem.
No, I think Damon wants to. You know, there's the bit where, like, Damon and Rick are outside the grill when Isabel and Elena are chatting. And Stefan's in there and Damon's really annoyed that he's not inside as well. And he's like, we should just go in and kill her. And Rick's like, no, you can't. So I think they don't because of Rick.
Okay.
And probably Elena. Elena's probably like, no, don't kill my birth mom.
It's just, they were so happy to kill Henry.
Henry
in the last episode.
He'd done nothing.
Vicky. They were very happy to kill Vicky.
We were all fine to kill Vicky. But not the woman that can't act. Sorry, I didn't say that.
No, I mean, very fair. But no, before they have this camp standoff, they bring Bonnie back to dispel. Like, Bonnie having told Elena that she has an issue protecting vampires because it killed her grandmother, Elena's first thing that she does when they become friends again is be like, hey, Bonnie, can you dispel this device that is a weapon against vampires?
You know what's also really unimpressive is being like, pick a book and then I'll stare at a bookshelf and really slowly summon it.
How was that her like go-to, I'm gonna impress you, I've been practicing, here's a book.
She can melt their minds.
Yeah.
That was more impressive. Yeah, they've already seen it, the Mystic Fools pageant. Like, yeah, I don't know. But back to the camp standoff. That's when Isabel's like, he's in love with you, about Damon.
Mic drop.
And you have the most awkward hug I've ever seen between Elena, Stefan, and Damon.
So weird. She hugs Stefan, stares at Damon, and then buries her face like she's like a mole.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's a weird look between Stefan and Damon. Yeah.
Lots of eyes going on in that hug.
Oh, so many.
There's also... Go on, sorry, babe. I was just going to say there's no rebuttal when Isabel says he's in love with you. Damon doesn't say anything, Stefan doesn't say anything, and Elena doesn't say anything.
They all know it's true.
Yeah. Stefan just looks disappointed. I think it was like, I think Elena knew and Stefan was like, oh, for fuck's sake, I didn't want this to be true, but it clearly is type thing. And Damon's just like, shit. cat's out of the bag. Like, oh no.
And then you get the Damon Stefan standoff afterwards, which is, well,
do you like it?
I mean, it's just very cringy.
yeah I don't think that it's that Stefan is concerned that Elena would leave him for Damon. I don't think it's that. I think he's just telling Damon, stop what you're doing, it's inappropriate. He's not communicating it in a very good way. I don't think it's that he's worried about, like, that Damon's gonna steal his girl. I don't think it's from that perspective.
No, I don't think he's threatened. I think he's just like, it's weird, like, please stop. And then Damon makes it weirder where he's like, I've written it down, it's like, when she needs a friend to talk to about anything, I'm here for her. When it's like, whenever Stefan fucks up, and you do see it's like Stefan won't tell her the whole story and Damon fills in the gaps, or like Stefan does something and Elena goes to Damon. And it is like a very messed up relationship, I think, in that way of like, don't go to the other brother that you know is also in love with you to rant about your relationship.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Albie?
Oh, no, I was just going to say they use the phrase history repeating itself. I feel like it's either that used a lot or it's definitely the name of an episode. You always get history repeating.
History repeating is an episode in season one. I think it's when Alaric arrives, maybe. The history teacher arrives. Mm.
Well, I was also going to say the reason that it might sound familiar is like Chamber of Secrets. They say it all the time in Chamber of Secrets, Harry Potter, history repeating itself.
Yeah. And the episode ends with a crazy conversation. Are we happy to go there?
Yeah.
Ends with a crazy conversation between Bonnie and Caroline, where Bonnie is making it clear to the audience that she didn't dispel the device. But Caroline has no fucking idea what she's talking about. So she's speaking in like half. Imagine if you were Caroline in this conversation.
Oh, I would be having none of it. I'd be like, tell me all or just stop talking. I don't want to hear this cryptic, like, she'll never forgive me because I did something I said or didn't do something I said I was going to do. If one of you came at me with that, I'd be like, what?
No, also, yeah. Sorry, Alice, if you came to me and you were like, Catherine asked me to do something and I knew it was wrong, so I didn't do it, I'd be like, what the fuck did Catherine ask you to do? Like, what?
Yeah.
I'd be like, sorry, what lines were crossed? Like, what's happening? And Caroline just sits there so calmly. Like, it makes no sense.
I know. It's mad.
The final thing, sorry, that from this episode, we are wrapping up, is so we know they want to use the device to kill all the tomb vampires, but John and Isabel have a phone call that they want to add the Salvators to it because they don't want this life. And that's when it's confirmed as well, because it's like Damon has a hunch, which is obviously, it was right, that John's Elena's father, but it's Isabel being like, we don't want this life for Elena.
In case it wasn't clear from Damon saying, I think John's her dad, you have to have a line of Isabel being like, she's our daughter, John.
Exactly. So we know that they're going to kill all the tomb vampires and the Salvators, and Bonnie's helped them and Elena doesn't know. Not really helped them. I don't think Bonnie did anything wrong from where Bonnie was standing, but she shouldn't have committed to Elena. She should have just been like, I don't want to do it.
It's so like, these aren't little decisions. These are like playing with people's lives. So I really don't know where I stand on it, other than Elena was out of line to even ask her to deal with this, really. I don't think Bonnie should have lied.
I don't think Bonnie lied, but yeah, I completely, Elena shouldn't have asked. And but also Bonnie should have just communicated back, like, I'm not ready. Like, I would like us to work towards being friends, but like, I'm not ready to get back in the vampire world and do all of this.
Because I think it also would have very much changed that, like, from, I think what's tricky, as you said, it's like messing with people's lives, but, and I maybe Bonnie doesn't realize the gravity of it, but she's put a lot of people in danger. She shouldn't have been asked to do it, and they should have found another solution to the problem, and that's why. But yeah, she's,
I guess it comes down to Bonnie doesn't think vampires have, like, their life has worth, and Elena does. So that's why I guess they've taken quite clearly such different sides in it. But difficult one. But that's the end of this episode. And time for stats.
Hey.
So we are keeping track of every relationship in the show, how many times each character murders someone else, and how many times every character comes back to life. So what are we adding today?
Well, there were no deaths.
No deaths.
Were there any relationships?
Yes.
Well, I would like to add Damon and Elena. I think it's time.
Do we want to start with that one? Okay.
You think it's time? Okay.
What do you think, Al?
Without giving spoilers, I think the next episode is time.
See, I initially thought that, but I just think the reveal of from Isabel being like, he's in love with you, and there's a no denial from Damon, Stefan, or Elena.
I agree.
All three of them know it. Otherwise, I like, initially, that's what I had in my mind before. That's when we'd add them. But I do just think that bit is like, it's clear. Like, you've had the Stefan and Damon conversation about Elena. It's not reciprocated, but like, it's not reciprocated without giving support. It's not reciprocated in the next episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is the time.
Okay.
Are you happy, Al?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't have this on mine, so I'll add it now. Oh God, this has made it complicated.
Oh,
no, it's fine. I'll just have to do some rejigging to try and not cross lines, because we've added a new line in our lovely hexagon. So I think it's time. He's in love with her. Mm. End of. We do have other relationships, Dad, though.
What, Sherry and Isabel and the other guy?
Yes, we've got Isabel and Sherry, Sherry and the cowboy and Isabel, because they all clearly fucked each other.
Yeah.
So that forms like a proper triangle. But then we also have to add Isabel and John.
So question. Have we already got John and, I've forgotten, John and Jenna?
Yes, we also have John and Jenna.
Oh,
so
God.
Now we have a square. That's... Lovely, Ellie. We've got a square from Isabel to Alaric to Jenna to John to Isabel.
Lovely.
What is this show?
But also, does that... No, it doesn't. I was like, does that link
because
Jenna to Elena?
Jenna to Elena was already linked. And as now we know John is Elena's parent. Elena is linked to all her... she's linked to both her birth parents and Jenna. But... because we've added Elena and Damon, we now have another parent connection that is only two away, because we've got Isabel, Damon, Elena.
Yeah.
That is also as low as Vicky, Kelly, Tyler. We have two of those relationships.
Well, yeah, because in the same episode where we're adding Damon and Elena to the relationship chart, Damon made out with it as well.
Yeah, 100%. Mad. That's wild. Okay, trivia time. So really quickly, all of the credited main characters appear in this episode, which hasn't happened for a long, long time. What's her name? Isabel was played by Mia Kirshner. I want to apologize to this woman. I've been very mean to her. But anyway, her mother is Bulgarian, as is Nina Dobrev, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's nice for that casting wise. She also was in Not Another Teen Movie, where she played the parody of the Cruel Intentions character that Sarah Michelle Gellar, aka Buffy, played.
Mm.
She also appeared in a TV show called Wolf Lake, which was set in the Pacific Northwest. This was a suspense thriller that explores what happened when werewolves overtake a small Seattle suburban town. Paul Wesley is also in it. Isn't it crazy? 9 episodes were produced, but only 5 aired before the series was cancelled. But I'm pretty sure their characters were related because they share the same last name. So she has been related to both Stefan and Elena in various TV shows.
Mm-hmm.
This is also the first episode to be named after a character. There are three more. Would you like to guess which ones they are?
Catherine.
Klaus.
So it's Katerina. Yeah. Klaus. And one more. They're all in season two.
Elijah?
Nope.
It's not. Season two. Is it Caroline? Is it Michael Michelson?
I wish an episode was called Michael Michelson. No.
Oh, I don't know.
Rose.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So we've not met some of those characters yet. So a little bit of sizzle. If anyone's watching for the first time, we have many more character episodes to come. But that's it for today's episode. So next week, we have the finale. The big one. We're very excited to record it. In the meantime, you can get in touch with us where?
On Twitter for now, at maybe. Miss Mystic Pod. But keep in the loop. We might be changing that.
Yeah. We've recorded this in advance, so God knows what the social media landscape is like in 2 weeks from now.
You can maybe terrifying. Find us on Twitter at maybe. Miss Mystic Pod. Yeah. If you can't, we're not there anymore. So...
Bye.
Bye. We'll miss you. we'll miss you on Twitter, but we are on Instagram, so thank God that feels safe for now. Yeah. Who knows? But you could follow us, DM us, and I guess Thread on Instagram.
Thread is, we're not touching Threads yet. Thread is what we're debating starting instead of Twitter. It's a different thing.
You can email us.
You can email us.
Let's go old school. You can email us at missingmysticfoolspod@gmail.com.
Yeah, you can.
And you can follow us on Missing Mystic Fools. No. Yes, Missing. I got confused then. Missing Mystic Fools Pod at Instagram.
Perfect. Or you can go
you
on
can
to...
ring us. No, you can't. No.
we will give our full phone numbers, addresses, identifying information. No. But you can go on to your podcast app of choice and give us 5 stars. We'd love it. Thanks, babes. We'll be back next week. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.